What if I told you could start recording your own podcast right away on your cell phone? It's time to give Anchor a shot. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. I love to record podcast episodes on my cell phone at any time, any place. Anytime I meet somebody interesting, I say, hey, let's do a quick podcast, and I just whip out my phone. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Welcome to the Real Estate and Passive Income Show. My name is Eric Pittman. Thank you for listening to and supporting an association of investors that are paving the way to be financially free in today's world. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Hopefully you enjoyed that little intro music to get you pumped up. I am really excited to bring you along this real estate journey of mine. And you're probably thinking, who am I? What's my background? So a little bit about myself. I got into the real estate industry at the age of 19, and I bought my first real estate investment at 22 years old. To date, I've completed over 50 real estate investment transactions, and I've gotten to the point of my career where I really want to take things to the next level. I want to grow. I want to get out of my comfort zone, and that's the reason why I started this podcast. I want to give back to the real estate investment community that has given so much to me over the years, and I want to bring a lot of value to the industry through this podcast. I want to have great guests on the show. I want to provide as much information as I possibly can. And at the end of the day, my intent is that everybody can take a little bit more action on their goals and their dreams. You know, there's plenty of education out there, books, audios, podcasts like this. But if everyone would have a little bit more confidence in implementing what they know, I think they would achieve their goals faster. They would have a higher quality of life. And at the end of the day, they would be a lot happier. So the big takeaway from this podcast is action. You know, get out there. Even if you're just starting, start small and, you know, get out there and take action on your goals and your dreams. So today's guest on the show is going to be a local Southern California real estate investor. And I'm going to be interviewing him on how he got started with his first couple real estate investments and what actions he took to get there. His name is Mike Franklin, and let's take a listen.
Hi, Eric. Thanks so much for having me on this podcast. Really excited to be here. You know, first off, how are you doing? You excited?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. You know, this is something I've wanted to do for such a long time. And I'm glad that you're joining me on the podcast.
I appreciate that.
This is going to be fun. We're going to have some fun, but we're also going to make sure that our audience is walking away with some meat. They're walking away with some action steps of their own that they can implement in their business. You know, we're going to get into that because I like what you've been doing lately, Mike, and we're going to get into that in a second. But before we do, let's talk about you a little bit. You know, okay. I really want to, you know, hear a little bit more about your background. Tell our audience a little bit about who you are. Yeah. How'd you get into investing? Kind of share with the audience a little bit.
Yeah, you know, on the professional side, I have, you know, over a dozen years in the residential development business, but that's been more on the professional side and not really on the property investment side. So it's interesting. Real estate, everyone knows, right? They know a property, a house, everyone can touch it, smell it, see it, and it's relatable. I think that's what's great about, you know, this industry and what tools it has to offer and avenues to pursue to really take action.
I agree. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what attracted you to real estate investing?
Well, you know, it's funny. Initially, I would say growing up, and I'm going kind of way back, is I really didn't not like real estate, at least my impression of it. My father was in the industry, and he would take me out to these tracts of land out in, seems like, the middle of nowhere, and would survey and say, ask my opinion about these tracts of land out of the middle of nowhere. And I was like, this is boring, Dad. Like, I don't want to do this. And so I never thought I would be in the real estate game, and now I am, professionally and personally. And so I guess he's had the last I told you so on that one. And so I'm glad for that. But, recently jumped into the real estate investment game after reading about it, listening to podcasts like this one, and just decided to just take action and go for it.
Awesome. Awesome. So you pulled the trigger, you took action, right? How, in regards to your mindset, how did you get yourself in the frame of mind where you're like, hey, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it? How did you prime your mindset for this?
You know, I think it starts with micro goals, you know, baby steps. It's always
micro goals.
Micro goals.
Okay, tell me audience a little bit about what you mean by that.
Micro commitments, if you will.
Micro commitments. I like it.
And it's just thinking of breaking down the process in much more manageable bites. You know, you take a look at, I want to own and invest, you know, 100, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 properties and grow my portfolio. But it doesn't start with that. It starts with, you know, logging into and finding a podcast that you want to listen to or get educated on, or networking with the right people. And where does that start? I think that starts with just one simple thing. And it's really small. It's a small seed that really grows into something big. And I use the analogy of fitness a lot, because I really do think a lot of training physically and going through that prepares you mentally.
Yeah. You're a fit guy. You're in shape. How do you bring that philosophy over to your real estate investing business?
So let's take a look at on the fitness side of how that started. And that was, hey, I want to get back into working out, right? And it started with, I'm just going to put my shoes by my bed. And even
small action step.
And even if I don't go, that's okay. I'm just going to put my shoes by my bed this one time once a week. And then eventually, you know, you start taking further action incrementally and steps at a time. And it's just like that, I believe, in any venture, whether it be business investing, friendships, growing, any sort of growth, is taking, making micro commitments and hitting them on a very small scale. And you realize how easy they become to form a habit. And so, you know, people sitting in their car listening to this podcast says, oh, that's fine and well. But I would say, just make that one phone call, even leave a voice message. And even if you don't get anybody, that's okay. That's a step.
Were you telling me the other day on like a Friday after work, you were calling somebody on the East Coast, and you were thinking about not making the call because it's what, 6-7 o'clock at night in the East Coast, and you thought nobody would pick up.
Yeah.
But you told me that, hey, I called, I left the voicemail anyway, and didn't they get back to you? Wasn't there a response like in a few days or something?
Yeah, exactly. I could have waited, and I was sitting there on the drive saying, oh, you know, it's late, you know, it's Friday, they're probably starting their weekend, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, you know, it's okay. It doesn't hurt. What's the worst thing that can happen? They answer their phone. And so, and you get what you wanted and intended to do. And so it's just these small little things, that add up over time. And, you know, I think there was a study about successful people or successful executives and things of that nature. And what's the difference between, you know, great to average to below average, professionals. And a lot of it was small decisions that add up over time. So maybe, you know, the excellent, you know, CEO or executive or investor makes two or three more better decisions than the average investor. Now multiply that by 365 days a year. That's over 1,000 better decisions made.
And that's a huge difference.
And so the point of that is, and I'm kind of rambling here, is it all adds up. Small steps add up. And so, just looking up something on Google because you are interested in it is a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. So for our audience, to kind of give them something that they can take immediate action on and implement is your idea of micro goals. Very, very small, seemingly, you know, insignificant action steps that you can do, such as one phone call or, as you related it to working out, put the shoes next to the bed. I think that's fabulous. I think that's fabulous. That's a good start, you know? And do you think any investor can do that? Anybody can start to do it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, think about this. So this podcast is about, you know, taking action, mindset determines success. And it's funny, if you take any action, right? A phone call, looking something up on the internet, researching, asking for a referral to find out more and to get in touch with the right people, you're taking action. The default is no action, inaction.
Right.
And everybody can do that. That's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. Anybody can do nothing, right?
And that's the default. You know, when there's uncertainty or maybe some fear, because everyone has fear. Everyone, you know, has this trepidation. And so taking action, you're already, you know, probably putting yourself ahead of half the people there.
Of half the people there.
By just taking one simple step. And then I would say this, another takeaway for these micro goals and these micro commitments is create a timeline for them.
Timeline.
Maybe you'll say you'll do that once a week, whatever that small step is, whether it's that I'm going to look up something or I'm going to call somebody or I'm going to search the MLS or Zillow or, you know, make networks with brokers, property managers, contractors, just do it once a week.
Okay. Can you share with the audience some of the small steps, that you took when you started? Let's say you're a new investor, right? You're really hungry to get your first
deal. I'm still new.
Right?
I just started a month or two ago.
Yeah, exactly. And you're getting started and they're probably like, okay, I'm a little bit scared or I have some fear about doing this. How would you maybe, what advice would you give them to overcome that or to move forward?
You know, it's easy to get overwhelmed, right? By the vision. And it's like, and you sit there and can say, oh man, how do I even find these properties? Okay. And if I do that, how do I even get the money? Maybe you even have money. How do I deploy it the best way? Do I go after condos? Do I go over after apartments? Do I go after duplexes? Do I dabble in commercial? Whatever the options are. It's so much. It seems so daunting. But I would say just move forward at least on one thing. So for example, you know, I was looking into opportunities through a turnkey provider that was doing out-of-state investment properties. And so I gave them a call. I was curious about their platform and their team in place. And frankly, I looked at it and I evaluated it and the deals didn't look too enticing to me. They looked okay, you know, and that's understandable because it's an asset that is in place, rehabbed, already renter in place. And so I just thought there was more opportunity out there than besides that. So,
okay. So I know that you recently purchased some properties out of state, right? You said you're looking into a long-term provider. And you have a big grin on your face that, you know, I assume they went pretty well. And can you share with the audience what it was like and, you know, buying your first few deals out of state and you've never seen these properties? Can you kind of, you know, briefly kind of give them an idea on what action you took to move forward?
I have the big grin because it could be the worst decision I ever made in my life. Who knows, right? And that's a risk that I'm still trying to figure out and hopefully end up on the right side and got in contact with the right team, how I feel I have to be able to trust them and to evaluate these deals and to say at its core, is this a good deal or not? And then to move forward. So, yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, I literally jumped in about a month or two ago. I know I have a background in residential development, but really kind of jumped in head first. Now I own 9 units, mm-hmm. total, 9 doors.
9 units. You just jumped in, huh?
It's crazy, right?
Right.
And so
you took action.
Took action. And it's funny, I actually found the deals before I had the funding. Now, and so I...
Did everybody hear that? You know, Greg, he found the deals before he had the money to purchase them, right?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
And so I think that can hold a lot of people back. At least it held me back, I would say, probably a good 6 months to a year, because I had my money tied up in other investments. And so it's easy to say, oh, well, my money's working for me here, so it's doing okay. And so I really just wanted to jump out there. So I jumped down the head first. One of them is a triplex purchased in Indianapolis, in a gentrifying area. It looked like dog crap outside, and that's probably why it sat there for a while. And probably more smarter, seasoned investors pass it up. But I think there's a long-term opportunity play there for this cash flowing asset.
Okay. So for our listeners that maybe are just getting started, or they're, you know, on their second or third deal or whatever, and they're probably, some of them might be thinking, hey, you got a deal before you got the money. How does that work? Can you kind of go into that a little bit on what action you took to kind of put that deal together?
Yeah. So as I mentioned about the turnkey provider, I thought they were better. You can piece together a better deal. But the thing is, what you need for out-of-state investing is property manager, right? To manage your rentals, because you're not going to fly halfway across the country to fix a toilet.
Of course.
You need a broker to help you broker the deal, to go help you find them, or at least bring them to the table so you can evaluate them. And as well as a contractor, you know, all these team members that you can trust if to put the deal together. So, okay.
So the key people that you called, share with our audience, it was the contractor. Who else? Who are the key people that you were making calls to?
Property manager.
Okay.
And broker.
Broker.
And so I reached out to numerous property managers, numerous brokers, trying to understand, you know, who deals with out-of-state investors. And so it started with a phone call, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what I don't know, kind of thing. And, you know, just every day. Not every day, okay, maybe 4 days a week in the morning, at least making one phone call. Okay. And what's great about, in my situation, calling the East Coast or back East, you know, the time difference. It could be 6 in the morning here and it's 9 a.m. there.
Yeah, here in Southern California, right? It's 6 a.m. there, it's 9, so they're getting started.
So it's really advantageous, you know, and luck of the draw on that particular aspect. But, you know, calling, making networks, hey, if you don't have what I'm looking for, do you know anyone else that does? And so, you know, really stepping back and just taking one step, you'd be surprised how much one step will add up to over a course of, in my case, you know, 3 months.
Taking that one step. Tap a little bit, you know, the micro goals, the very small action steps to move forward, right? Because we all have ideas in our head of what we want, right? Until we actually put it down on paper and make the calls, nothing's going to happen, right? You know, you put together a you know, timeline, a little bit of what you're looking to do, you said, you know, to help with the fear and overwhelm. If anybody's kind of, you know, scared, I know we spoke about it a little bit, but, you know, if anybody's scared or what to do, what would be some, like, safe steps they can start out with? What were some of the safe steps that you started out with?
Well, let's define safe, right? Is safe,
good question.
Is safe, if we're going to talk about investment terms, less likely to lose money? Maybe that's defined as safe. I mean,
if I'm going to define safe, like, what are the action steps that anybody can do that that they're not going to lose money? Like, make a phone call.
Yeah. Oh, what does it do to cost to look up something on the internet?
Free as long as you have internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
right.
Or work for a library.
You can hoof it to the library.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that.
You know, those are free things you can all do. You can you can call a realtor and pick their brain. You're not trying to waste their time, because you definitely want to speak to someone that you can also add value to. But that's all free. You know, you can make phone calls. You can ask around. That's all free. And so I would say those are absolutely safe things you can do. In fact, I mean, frankly, you can tie up a property almost for free before you got to put down that deposit. But that deposit is still yours, and you still have the option to get out of a transaction if you find something that you don't like during the time, the due diligence time. Mm-hmm. So I think we just outlaid probably, I don't know, let's call that 75 to 80% of a deal. Is free.
It's free. It's just the legwork.
Legwork, due diligence, run your numbers.
And anybody can do it, whether you're brand new or you're a seasoned veteran.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's, you know, a lot of it's free, and it's just the legwork and time.
Okay. So, how about like posting ads on Craigslist or anything like that? Do you do any other marketing like that right now? Or for you, it's just finding deals. You're just looking to find the deal. That's the common theme I hear in the investor world, is like, I need a deal. I can't find a deal. I'm looking for deals. Everybody's looking to find deals.
You know, it's funny, because I jumped in head first. I have enough deals to deal with right now on my hands. Got that rehab to go through. Another 4 months of construction on that one. Money's tied up in that property. Went out and got another triplex that's doing, you know, definitely well. Got my first check at least in the mail or deposited in my account, which was a good feeling. And then went out and got another a very inexpensive single family detached home for under $30,000. If you
under $30,000,
yeah,
those prices don't exist in Southern California, Mike.
On this particular one, 27 grand to buy, and it rents for $550, and I'm probably going to increase it to $600. Very soon.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, Mike, we're going to take a break. And everybody, again, we're here with Mike Franklin. He is a Southern California real estate investor who recently just purchased, was it 8 or 9 units, you said?
It's 8, going to turn into 9 shortly.
So it's 8, and you're converting and get an extra unit out of that. So he recently purchased 8 units. He's only been in the business a couple months, and he did it by taking action. Okay, guys, so we're going to take a break and we'll be back. Hey, this is Eric Pittman. We are back with our guest, Mike Franklin, who is a real estate investor, new real estate investor here in Southern California. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
All right.
This good. Is awesome.
Glad you're still here. Glad you're enjoying yourself. Now, I want to go into obstacles a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has obstacles. Nothing ever works out 100% according to plan, right? I'm sure that you've been up against some crap so far, right? While doing these deals. So, what are some of the biggest obstacles you've overcome so far while picking up your 8 units?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm in the midst of an obstacle right now.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. You want to share?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go.
So picked up these 8 units, going to be turned into 9 units. My money's out, right? Yeah. All the investment money's out in the market, hopefully making money. And, you know, there's these opportunities, the apartments opportunities that have come my way via the broker I'm talking to and thrown my way. And so I'm running the numbers on these. You know, one is an 8 unit complex, one's 11 unit complex, one's a rehab that needs quite a significant amount of rehab to get stabilized, one's already stabilized in place. And so I said, gosh, my initial reaction when speaking with my broker was, you know, I'm tapped out right now. My money's out right now, so I kind of have to wait for it to come back. And then the more I thought about it, I said, you know, the money will come. If you have the deal, the money will come. That's what I hear, the mantra, right? You hear that as well. Yeah,
of course.
And so I'm in the midst of it, is underwriting these deals. I they make sense. These are good deals. I don't know how to get a commercial loan. You know, I'm trying to figure out the down payment, you know, right now as well, and trying to piece that together. So how I've been tackling it is reaching out to almost every real estate person I know, asking them, hey, do you know a commercial broker that deals with small apartment loans? And I'm learning. And so I got it. I made about, let's say, I want to say 8 calls. I've talked to 5 of them. 3 of them don't deal with residential. They deal with only residential, not units over 4. And so I'm talking to 2 right now and trying to piece it together. And so it's easy to kind of sit back and probably just say, hey, sit on my hands, because it says, oh, the timing's not right. Or, right. But I just, I'm of the mindset is, hey, there's an opportunity here and someone's going to take it. So it might as well be me.
That's a good mindset. There's opportunity there, right? Many times in the past, I felt like, oh my God, I don't have any money. I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Until you realize that anything is possible in real estate, right? Everything is negotiable in real estate. If you have 2 parties that are able to negotiate anything that they want, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's on the table. So,
okay.
You know.
So you're overcoming that you're working on that obstacle right now, getting some financing for that. Okay?
Yeah.
Any other obstacles you've had while picking up these 3 properties, 8 units?
Sure. I mean, internally, people I know probably saying you're crazy. You know, family members saying you're crazy.
Negativity from your family and friends, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I expected that, and that's okay, right? I think a lot of things in stepping back and realizing things are the way they are. It is, you know. I actually like to repeat that to myself in my head sometimes. Is it is, period. Whatever is happening, it is.
It is.
It is being what it's supposed to be. The situation is how it's supposed to be. We're just applying our interpretation of it, right? So I guess handling that, it wasn't a big deal to me. It's just something that I know probably other people in your audience might experience if they go off in this explore, you know, this opportunity and get naysayers along the way. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
there's going to be naysayers no matter what.
Right? Absolutely.
What are you doing? You're crazy. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen. Right.
And I acknowledge it too. You're absolutely right. I could be, like I said, it could be the dumbest decision I ever made. And I've decided to still try it. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We will see.
Yeah. Well, so far it's looking good.
Yeah.
So far it's good, right?
You know, and like I said, by just taking action, you're already weeding out half of the wheat from the chaff. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we go back to keep taking action, right? It's funny that you mentioned that. And I was trying to prepare a little bit for this this podcast. Not too much, right? It has to come out organically.
Yep, it's got to be organic.
And I was looking at a post that I put up a long time ago, about 3 years ago. And it said, building my mountain one daily pebble at a time. And, wow. And I was trying to think about, well, what was I thinking about back then? Was I trying to, you know, what was I specifically trying to accomplish? And I think at that time, 3 years ago, I was just trying to better myself in education of listening to more podcasts, reading more books and things of that. And I was just thinking, you know, it's daily small action. And so,
yeah, the education is out there.
Yeah.
Plenty of books and podcasts and resources.
Yeah. And it's taking a step, you know, and, you know, by listening to it, there's a lot more people that don't listen to it. Right. And, by making a phone call, there's a lot more people that don't make that phone call. So, okay. You know, are you building it one daily pebble at a time? It adds up to a mountain over time.
Yeah. It's going to be a mountain. So how do you stay motivated? How do you stay focused every day? I'm sure you got the kids, you got family, you got, you know, work. A lot of people start out real estate investing part time.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen them for years going to the RIA meetings, out there networking after work. And that's awesome. Right. So how do you stay focused and motivated? Right.
You know, it's tough. It's tough. You know, 'cause it's a daily,
So how do you stay focused and motivated, Mike?
Well, you know, there's a lot of priorities, right? Working full time, family, how a home, everyone does, right? Everyone has priorities and things that pull on them. And I would say, one, you would be surprised. It doesn't take as much time as you think. Initially, it does, right? The rocket, what they say, what it expends the most energy at the beginning of liftoff. But it does get easier over time. And I would say this is that, but there's sacrifices that are going to have to be made. That's just the long and the short of it, at least in my experience and what I've gone through. And how I tackle that is I get up a little bit early. I get up, you know, about an hour before the house gets up. And that's my time to work on my personal goals, whether it be investing, making phone calls, you know, to find deals and network, whether it be to work out, you know, to meditate. So I would say it can be done, but there's just going to have to be a little sacrifice to be had. And, you know, maybe you get up early just one day a week and that turns into two and three. I typically get up, you know, maybe earlier than usual, maybe about 3 to 4 times a week.
Micro goals, micro action steps. Right?
And it just started with one day a week. So it snowballs. It definitely snowballs. And so I think it's really trying to do those micro goals, start off small and you build up the habit over time.
Yeah. Because don't you think that Americans or humans nowadays, there's so many distractions that our attention span is a lot shorter. You know, some people joke that the attention span of a goldfish, right? So, you know, people don't have a lot of time mm-hmm. and attention span for lengthy things, right? You know, take example of the podcast, right? Or whatever, right? Shorter the better. Mm-hmm. Videos, shorter the better. It's just like everything has become more condensed because also people are getting smarter because they have access to more material as well. Okay, so focus on those small bite-sized pieces there. You know, so let's talk about tools. Let's talk about, you know, what do you use to invest in real estate, right? Of course, there's so much on the internet, right? There's a million things we can do, you know, but, you know, what does Mike use? You know, kind of share with the audience, what are you using on a daily or weekly basis in your real estate investing business?
Right, right. Well, you know what saves a ton of time? If you learn some basic rules of thumb ratios to help you filter, right? Everything's right.
What ratios would our audience find valuable?
Know, there's one in particular, the 1% rule that's thrown out there quite a bit. Yep. Now, what does that mean, right? 1% rule is your rent. Your monthly rent that you take in is 1% or greater than the purchase price.
Okay. So if I buy a house for $100,000, it's got to rent for at least $1,000 a month. It's got to bring in $12,000 a year minimum.
Exactly. You know? And so that's a quick way. And it's not always a hard rule, but it's a general guideline that generally, if it meets that criteria, it has a favorable chance of cash flowing positively.
What about markets like Southern California where rent is $3,000 a month, but the house is, $900,000?
Yeah. In these markets and in the coastal markets, you just can't obtain those without a very significant down payment to make it cash flow positive. And that's frankly a barrier to entry. However, I'd say in a downturn, as real estate does cycles, that's probably a good time to then jump in to some of the more higher priced markets and move some capital around.
Beautiful, beautiful. 1% rule, you know, that's a good one. Again, our experienced investors will know about that. But if you're a new investor, use the 1% rule, stick with it. I don't care if you're emotionally attached to the property or whatever, just stick with it. What else you got for us, Greg?
You know, so when you look at a property, at least I'm looking at on the internet because I'm not out there physically, is taking a look at, well, to determine that 1% rule, you need to know what rents are in that area. I have no idea what rents are in certain areas, that you're new to. And so really, there's a quick, I would say, quick cheat, and it's not always hard and fast as always, rule, but, Rentometer is a great, rentometer.com is okay. Great website that you can punch in the number of bedrooms, the amount of rent you're assuming, and they will give you an idea of just it, hey, does that jive with that area, with that immediate area? And so, with those couple things, you can really start underwriting at least half the deal right there, mm-hmm. with following those, that 1% rule and trying to understand what rents are in that area. You're already halfway there.
Okay, you can do most of your research from the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do a vast majority of it. And then it's, to trust team members and form those relationships out there, to validate your assumptions.
How do you analyze your deals? You just use a calculator like some guys I know, or do you have some fancy, sophisticated Excel sheet or stuff? What are you using, Mike?
Well, that's a technical term, right? Sophisticated.
Yep. Very technical.
I use a basic spreadsheet that
in Excel.
In Excel that basically runs out what are the costs, what's the money coming in, what are the costs going out, and what's left over, right? And that's your profit, mm-hmm. Minus any debt service, taxes. Those are some of the general, costs that you're going to have with a property. And then a lot of it's a basic addition and subtraction, frankly,
right.
Algebra. So yeah.
Pretty easy to analyze a rental or a note, right? As long as you have all the numbers, a lot of us just, you can even do it on a simple calculator.
Yeah, you can in a matter of minutes with the right inputs, right. For sure.
Nice. So you're a fan of Excel or spreadsheets.
Yeah, I tend to be a spreadsheet nerd, so
okay.
I like to
get good for you. Right. I'm not a spreadsheet nerd, so I use Excel in a very basic capacity. I look at it just, hey, what's my bottom line? What are the things that are coming in? What's going out?
It's all you need.
It's all you need. That's true. Awesome. Any other tools you recommend to the audience? Anything else you think that would help them?
I
could be a website, could be an app. I downloaded this real estate. Here, it's on my phone. This real estate app the other day. I thought this was pretty neat. Just called RE Analyst. It's an app. It's free. Type in some numbers. You get a quick analysis. It has a built-in calculator, all that.
That's awesome.
That was only a couple bucks.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a free version on that too out there.
Realtor.com, Zillow app, you can look at properties. You can do a lot of business on your phone nowadays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, if I could do everything through my phone, it would be a perfect world for me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I could just do everything from my phone, it would be so easy.
What is easy, right? If you really step back in this process, it's easier than you think. And the fear of it being harder than it really is weeds out a lot of people, which presents a better opportunity for you if you're willing to take action and take risk.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And the successful mindset is taking action. Okay, my friend. Hey, I got a couple rapid fire questions for you. All right. We're going to have a little fun here. What's your favorite book?
Overall or business book, real estate book?
Real estate book for our audience.
Well, it's not directly real estate. One book that I recently read maybe about a year ago was Never Split the Difference, Negotiation.
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, Never Split the Difference. Chris Voss is the author's name. Great tips, a former FBI negotiator. Took some of his real world tips that he's learned, in the school of hard knocks, and is really applying it now in the business setting and kicking ass, in my opinion. And so I thought this was a great book that I'm actually using quite frequently in my daily interactions, because it's funny when you step back every day, every interaction is some sort of negotiation on some sort of level.
Absolutely. You know, especially in real estate. Everything's a negotiation.
Yeah. He flips a lot of things. He uses a lot of techniques that are just human nature and really taps into that to understand, you know, the negotiation process and perspective. So I would say if you have time, yeah, I would crack that open, listen to the audiobook. Great thing. Download it, you know, summary at the end of it and just try to implement it just one time a week in one interaction, and you'll be surprised how much more you start picking things up.
Excellent. Excellent. Awesome. Here's another rapid fire question. If you can go back in history and meet anybody who is dead,
right? They have to be dead.
Yeah, they have to be dead. Somebody who is not with us no longer, but anybody in history, who would it be? And what would you ask them?
Gosh, you know, and this is more curiosity because I'm not a terribly spiritual person. I would say is JC.
JC, huh? All
yeah,
right.
And I want to see, like, you know, was he the real deal or was just the you know? I don't know. He's historically he's was there, and it's just curious to see. What was he about? Was he a normal dude like everyone else? And you know, his influence grew over time, or was he impactful at that particular moment? And just, it would be really fascinating to see because, you know, obviously it's so prevalent now. It's just, curious.
Cool. All right. Let's do one more.
All right.
What is the coolest invention that you think, has ever been invented?
Ever?
The coolest invention ever. Yeah.
Oh man. I'd have to say a very impactful one, the internet. Think about how many doors it has opened to society of information, mm-hmm. and the transmittal of that information. I mean, no one looks at encyclopedias anymore, really, right? And so it's allowing us to do this right now, the internet, right? Without this technology, probably people wouldn't be selling this. I'm sure you bought this gear off the internet.
Yes, that's right. My whole podcast studio setup.
The command center.
Yeah.
So I would say it's pretty fascinating. I have a quite rapid fire question for you.
Go ahead. Shoot.
And it's a really silly and funny one though.
Let's do it.
And I heard it on a different podcast the other day, and it just made me laugh so hard. Okay. It said, okay, out of your pointer finger, if it could dispense one fluid or liquid, what would it be? Unlimited.
Wow. It would be like a straw, like I'm drinking from my finger.
Anything. It could be anything.
Oh man, if it could be anything. I'm really into those flavored seltzers right now. So give me like a lemon lime seltzer right now, right? Zero calories. No, nothing artificial. I can just sip on that thing all day long. Get that little bit of the carbonation.
Really? You would just go around squirting that into people's drink?
You want some seltzer, right? You want some lemon lime? There you go.
You'd be a great bartender at a party.
Be the best bartender out there. Oh, man. Hey, that was a good question. So, okay, let's wrap it up. Thanks everybody for joining us on the Real Estate and Passive Income Show. Our guest today, Mike Franklin, who is a new investor who just purchased 8 units out of state. And this is a little bit about what action he took and how he got himself into the real estate investment game. So thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for our next episode where we're going to bring in some great guests with some great new content. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.